Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork, I'm the host, and what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. All right, welcome to another This Week in Silverlight, recorded June 18th, 2010. Man, this year is flying by. I am joined by my guests, as always, Mr. Kelly White, Mr. Brian Henderson. How are you guys?
Hi, Eric.
All right, so I'll kick us off this week. Let's go around and we'll talk about some news. The thing I want to point out, there is this MSDN blog post, and it'll be in the show notes, but it's essentially Metro style theme for the desktop CLR. So you know Metro style on the Windows Phone 7, that nice sort of sleek. Sleek isn't the word. What's the right word for the Metro theme?
Elegant.
Elegant.
I mean, that's a stretch.
Different than iPhone, maybe?
It's just a clean look, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, it's clean. Yeah, clean. I think that's the word we're looking for.
Yeah.
It's a very clean style. And I actually thought about what would it look like on the desktop, and it turns out, I thought it would look awful, but it actually looks really nice. It's kind of clean, and I was interested. So anyway, I have that link up there, and if I can, I'll go ahead and post a little bit of a screenshot on the show notes as well. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Kelly, what'd you spot this week?
So I want to talk about Windows Phone 7 devices actually coming out and getting into the hands of developers. There was
you talked about that last week.
Did I?
And the week before. And but it's Mix. And.
So you know who Brandon Watson is, right?
No. I probably should, but I don't.
You should. So we have it confirmed from him, and we might have had this confirmed last week, right? But the devices are actually going to be out in the hands for developers in the month of July.
Awesome.
And who they're going to start with, if you kind of peeked around on Twitter this last week, some of the guys from the mobile 6.5 developers, they got invitation emails to go ahead and log into the phone marketplace, where they would go in and upload their apps and manage their marketplace account, right?
Yeah. Now, to be fair, they've sort of lost their livelihood, so I'm kind of okay with them being first.
They get to be first, right. And the rule with that is we could have been in that group, but we would have had to have had a mobile 6.5 app put into the marketplace before June 1st. So we missed that. Oh well.
Oh, I thought you were in there, Kelly.
Yeah, if I would have known that, tell you what, I would have had a flashlight app for mobile 6.5
out there. We fart.
Yeah, nice. Have they laid down the law of the App Store on fart applications? Do we know for sure they're getting in?
I think per developer, you're allowed to have 5 free applications in the App Store.
5 free applications.
Yeah, so beyond 5 that, free you ones, right?
Well, then you have to pay them an extra $100 to get another 5 free.
Okay, so
but if you charge for them, you can have as many as you want.
Your 6th fart app you got to pay for. Jeez. Got it.
I think as long as it's passed APIs and everything else, I think you're good to go.
So we haven't talked about the porn situation, have we?
There is.
So the marketplace. Did you see this, Brian? The marketplace came out with some new guidelines, and they go into pretty great lengths. You know, they go into really a lot of depth and a lot of detail as far as what is allowed in that category and what is not allowed. So it's not G-rated reading material.
Cool. I know for the games.
Details. That is awesome. It's like when they try to ban like obscenity and they want to make a law out of it, they have to, in the law, insert the words.
I'm trying to figure out why Brian said awesome, but whatever.
Well, you know, it's going to be clear, right?
Like
it's not like some other app stores where you don't know if your app is going to get accepted or not. You're gonna look here and you're gonna be like, well, I don't know.
Well, it's kind
partially
of tough
closed.
Yeah,
I can't even guess. I can't even guess at what the criteria are. Sorry, Brian.
Well,
go ahead.
Part of it is context application too. It's like, you know, you have beach scenes or something like that in a e-learning app. It might be inappropriate, but in another app, it might be appropriate.
So who defined obscenity as "I know it when I see it"? I think it was a famous judge or something.
Wow.
All right.
You know, and what I'm guessing here, going back to the context comment, I'm guessing that UFC could have a Windows Phone 7 app, and it could show pictures of Ariane on there as long as, you know, it's a fighting game, right? So Who knows?
Ultimate Fighting.
Cool.
Wow. On that note.
On that note, I got some things to carry on from last week. We talked about Expression Studio being launched, and this week Adam Kenny mentioned the videos are online available up there, so he's got a nice little post on that, so we link to that.
Can you tie that at all into UFC? Go. UFC, UFC Ultimate.
You lost me there.
Ultimate Fighting Champion. I don't know. Never mind. We'll see if we can't edit that little part out.
No, cool. also this week, Jeff Procise has this nice little post on doing dynamic discovery with Meth and Silverlight, so being able to bring in XApps. So he defines an extra parameter in the object tag to say what XApps you need for your application, so they get loaded in, and then your application can pull them down as you need it. Very simple but interesting technique to just make things available and dynamically configurable.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of the best things you can do architecturally for your application is to break it down into pieces, and that's sort of a start.
Right. So this is a nice little, just a few little nice hints to get started on that. Another post this week is just doing some data-driven stuff with the model view, Mii model. There's a three-part series up on Silverlight's show. Just some basic stuff, using the messaging, unit testing, and then validation, and just some integration with the views. So just a nice little, nothing new, but just a nice interesting series. It caught my eye just because of the messaging stuff in there. I find messaging is kind of interesting sometimes instead of events, so that's caught my eye there.
Hey, Brian? I tell you what. Oh, go ahead,
Tilly. So the examples there, are those, and how they're doing messaging, are they just doing it vanilla, like rolling their own, or are they using something like MVVM Lite?
This is kind of just vanilla. Okay. But MVVM Lite stuff is very cool. That's one of my favorite features in MVVM Lite's.
Okay, I'm looking at that. He's talking about that right now, Laurent's tool there.
Yeah, awesome. So, I mean, for messaging, I pretty much just use the MVVM Lite event bus anymore. Just throw it in there, use it, and done. You know, next problem to solve.
Yeah.
And then on the Windows Phone side, Silverlight, of course, Charles Petzold has a nice article just talking about different orientations and strategy used in orientations. So if you're like, you know, vertical mode, how you lay out the application, maybe you have some controls and then a view in there. But if you go horizontal view, you know, where you position those controls versus the view, you know, does it appear above or below or off the side, how you break that up. So some interesting ideas. I think he left out a couple of scenarios, but overall it gets you thinking just about, you know, how you approach the strategy for handling orientation.
So that information is going to be in his book, right? Like, if I don't read that blog post, but I go and I read the book?
I imagine it's a snippet from his book. I believe he's writing a book on Windows Phone 7.2. So, that would definitely be something that would be in the book, because that's kind of critical
stuff.
And that's one, like, you know, with the iPhone and tablets, the orientation thing is just a big thing with mobile devices, because showing what you have in a, you know, horizontal versus vertical, it's totally, you know, like a different screen almost.
So it's not really just how you do it, but it's also like talking about some of the user experience of how you could do it good versus how you could do it bad.
Exactly. It's like how you lay out your UI so you have a great user experience, because something looks good, you know, in a horizontal. When you go vertical, it's kind of like, you know, you have Visual Studio. You have your main code window, but off to the side you have your property panel. But if you rotate the screen, you know, it doesn't make sense. You might want to put it on the bottom or on top versus on the side, because now it's, you know, squishing your crow window. So
yeah,
the aspect ratio is very important.
Very cool.
Just to follow on from last week, talk about this cool shuffleboard game for Windows Phone 7. There's like a seven-part series. Some videos for that. Andy Bellew.
Man, you keep attempting it. That was a pretty good shot, though.
Okay. I apologize, Andy. I'm bad with names. But the videos are up in coding for fun. So there's nice tutorials plus the videos in coding for fun now. So
Yeah, he's a really smart game developer, so he's showing you how to build games on Windows Phone 7 inside of Silverlight, and you know, you can't ask for much more than a video series from somebody like that.
And it's not simple, even though it's multi-part. He actually goes, each one goes, is pretty in-depth, so it covers all, a lot of detail in there.
Yeah. All right. Does that bring us to rumors?
Bring us to rumors.
So, for the longest time, I thought it was Ars Technica. It's not. It's not. It's Ars Technica.
Cool.
Well, that's because there's no T there, right? I mean...
I don't know. I'm not dyslexic, but I saw a T in there for the longest time. So what do we got here from Ars Technica?
Just talking about Microsoft's roadmap, and I've had this or heard this conversation a few people. You know, it's the first question people ask when there's a Q&A at Microsoft is, okay, you got this Windows embedded stuff coming out. Where is the iPad? And it's there's kind of like this hole in their strategy. And it's either they're not talking about it or, you know, what is the strategy there?
What is the strategy? I like how you put it. There's an iPad-shaped hole in their strategy.
I thought it was a courier shape.
Yeah, man, you just stole it right there from me.
Didn't I see a picture of you, Kelly, this week with a couple iPads taped together with duct tape?
I tried it. Eric made me do it.
I have my courier, he was saying. It's alive.
At the same time, not just to stick with the rumor here, but beyond the rumors, like the stuff we talked about last week, like Samsung, the EPC, like tablets, there's a couple of interesting hardware devices out there coming out, you know, probably this fall, like 10-inch tablets.
You're talking about all the Android ones? Sorry.
Android or Windows, because some of them kind of look like, you know, Windows. I'm not sure.
Is there going to be one? I hope so.
Because a couple of those demos were pretty hacked up, but, you know, they're just a demo that was kind of some videos and stuff, so it's...
But they're going to be running... what I remember from seeing those is that they're going to be running Windows 7, like full-on desktop version Windows 7. Do we know that, or we don't even?
I think it would be Windows 7 Embedded, which is not released. I think it's alpha or beta at this stage right now.
Windows 7 Embedded. Now I just get confused. So, like, XP Embedded, to me, when I use it on, like, a tablet device or whatever, it just kind of looked like XP. Is that what I'm remembering?
Well, basically, it's like, you know, you have Windows Desktop, you have Windows Home. Windows Embedded is just a very customized version of Windows, so OEMs can include what drivers or what parts of OS. So if they want a networking stack or...
Yeah. You know...
Whatever.
You know, I mean, we've talked about this, and I just don't think you can put a form of honest Windows 7 on a tablet and have it look and feel and act... you know, have a great experience like you can on some other devices.
Dude, I don't believe it. I mean, they canceled, like, the Courier. They canceled the Slate. And, I mean, until I, like, see one in the store, I'm not even, like, counting on seeing a Windows tablet for a year.
Surface Mini. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Exactly. Actually, Mike Hall has a nice post on his blog, and basically the official name is Windows Embedded Compact 7.
I saw that.
Oh, man. What is with the names?
Foundation.
Yes. Server. No, I'm sure it'll be awesome. Good job. Good job, Michael. All right. Are we at the application of the week?
Sounds like it's time for that.
You're ready for it? Okay. So who posted this one? Was this you, Brian? The Windows Phone 7 bus tracking application?
Yeah, it was me. It's basically, it's a video only, but a video of UI, UX, the user experience, and it's very well done. So if it's a true application, it looks very nice. It's basically a bus tracking, so you want to catch the bus and you want to find the bus route, where the bus is, you're in the city, you just, you know, how to follow the bus, how to pick a route, stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, for all those people with iPhones, you're like, oh, yeah, I have an app that does that. But watch the video. Like, it's really cool. It looks really nice. I don't know if all Windows Phone 7 apps are going to look like that or if some are. But if some are, man, it's exciting.
Or if you're a Windows Phone developer and you want to look at transitions and then how to lay out different levels of screens, like a master versus detail and stuff like that, this would be a good app for a good example of what to aim for.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So even though it's not out there, but the video itself, I think, is great information.
So what do you guys think about that? Like, I mean, you write your app and you do it in the emulator, and then you post a YouTube video about your app. I mean, that's what Brandon Watson in his blog post said. You know what? If you guys want to get a phone, you know, you got to show us that you're building something. One way you can do that is put a video of your app on YouTube.
Great point, Kelly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so they're in kind of a chicken and egg situation, though. I'm willing to put money towards building a Windows Phone 7 device. Device, yeah, geez.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
Now you know my secret plan. A Windows Phone 7 application. But I actually, you know, I kind of want to know that I can test on a device before it ships and that the devices are going to be real, you know, before I actually go to the hard work of writing an awesome application. So kudos to this guy. Kudos to the other people that are doing it. But
well, do you really want to
call?
It's not. I mean, I'm thinking, like, I've got this idea, right? A couple ideas. But I don't know that I want to, like, share my ideas with everybody on YouTube and have somebody else beat me to market or innovate and take what I've done and take it one step further and place me out of market. I mean, that'll happen eventually, but I'd like to get my app out there first.
Well, there's also you actually remind me of something, Kelly, is there's a contest out there for Windows Phone 7. It's like a $5,000 or $10,000 contest where if you submit your idea, Microsoft will actually build it and then pay whoever submitted the idea some money.
Yeah, can we get the link for that? I know it's out there, and we'll put it in the show notes. So yeah. Don't worry about it now, but after we record, we'll make sure we put it.
Yeah, there. I just totally forgot about that, but yeah. Thanks, Kelly, for the reminder.
Sure.
You know, Kelly, here's my take. People in the tech community, they really want to have like a good idea that nobody else has thought of, and I just don't think it happens that way. Like I don't. There are some examples in the app iPhone App Store, right, where, you know, somebody has just a really simple idea, like a flashlight app, and, you know, hundreds of people write the flashlight app and, you know, whatever. But you know what? People are really able to compete on quality, especially in app stores, it seems to me. And there are some really, really good RSS readers for the iPad and iPhone, and they just stand up, you know, above the rest. I think you gotta beat them on quality, because you know what? Say, I mean, you're one guy doing this, you know, presumably in your spare time. And let's say you build it, right? And you spend, you know, what for you is a lot of time, 400 hours. Well, you know what? If you're not protected by, you know, your investments in quality, somebody with a company could come along and build that, you know, pay employees to build it, no problem.
Sure, but that, I mean, what I'm thinking is you're going to prove my point here, because As the app markets become saturated here, the only way we can separate ourselves and distinguish ourselves is with user experience, you know, and we can do that to a degree that we will be heads and tails above our competition and make tons of money off of that, you know. Now, if I'm posting a video of my user experience on YouTube and I'm doing that right now, you know, and somebody else, like one of these mobile 6.5 developers, can get a device here next month and he can say, you know what, I love this user experience. I'm going to implement it because I have a device and I'm going to do it and get it in the marketplace before he even gets a device. Well, I'm toast.
You know, maybe this world will be different than the iPhone App Store, but you know what? What I've seen there after looking at the apps a lot is that people just are unable to copy UX for whatever reason. There are some good apps with good UX, and then there'll be bad, tons and tons of bad apps that seemingly can't copy that UX.
Well, I think the other thing, Kelly, is once you put your video out there, basically you're sharing your IP, and it's like, okay, I created this. So whoever copies has to prove that they had something before that.
Do they?
Can't just, you know, copy. It's like, you know, you copy somebody's paper or something like that, so it's...
I mean, it's not like I can patent it, right?
Yeah. And I think you have to have more of a story behind. It's not just a UX. It's a story behind the application. So it's like whatever service and the business behind that too. Because, yeah, they can copy your UI. But, you know, what is their business story?
Yep.
So I think that's as important as well. And it's...
Well, either way, I mean, the only way that I can really get a device early is I've got to, you know, start building stuff with the emulator. And, you know, if I put a video up on YouTube of my application and demo actually using it, you know, that makes it easier to convince Brandon that I do deserve a device earlier and I can get one in maybe the first or second wave. And that I think that's worth it, at least for the first couple ideas.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're worried about that, I would actually, you know, approach developer evangelists with Microsoft or
that's a great point.
People like that directly. If you're, you know, at that level, you're concerned, it's a great idea.
Yeah, you can just approach me. I'll forward your idea on. You don't have to worry about it.
Sounds
very
good.
Safe. Very safe. All right, we're almost out of time. Looks like we have an honorable mention for application of the week.
And I'll just go with this. This is on team.silverlight.net. It's just a World Cup application of the many out there. There's probably at least a dozen. But just because it was mentioned in silverlight.net, I figured it'd be just mention it here as well.
Great. And we'll post a screenshot. Okay, guys. Hey, thanks again for joining me.
Hey, you know, one more thing. Ward Bell knows who UFC is. So just throw that out there, okay? I mean, that's UFC. Ward, baby.
It's got to be cool. If Ward's there, it's cool.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.